I'm Mark Bayshore. At the top of our program today, what is life like in a city where tap water is toxic? That's the question we're exploring this week in our Faces of Flint series, produced in partnership with Michigan State University journalism students. We're bringing you the stories of Flint residents as they navigate day-to-day life in the midst of the city's water crisis. Today we meet a family trying to brighten the perception of the city. Maddie, Joanne, and Jim Herman say new businesses and developments give them hope. They say others need to know about them. Their story is reported by MSU journalism student Karen Tunney, who spent her early years living in Flint.
My mom grew up on these streets. She chased fireflies in wide open spaces of the city's west side. My grandmother subbed in Flint schools. My grandfather built Buicks for GM. That was the 1950s. Today, my mom's old home stands among vacant lots, boarded-up homes. The block's seen murders and arsons. A tough place to live, and that was before the water crisis. Many have given up on Flint, but not everyone.
I like Flint. I love Flint. It's the town I grew up in.
That's Maddie Herman. At 13, she's the youngest activist I've ever met. She's passionate about her city.
Well, you see, like, you turn the channel, it's like, oh, Flint, 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 Flint. Like, come see the good parts of Flint. Don't just show the boarded-up houses, which we're trying to make better. But, I mean, every city has its struggles.
Maddie attends St. John Vianney, a Catholic primary school in the city. It's been around nearly 70 years. After 15 months of running corrosive water through these pipes, St. John Vianney needs renovations.
So our pipes need to either be replaced, or they need to be lined with copper, or we need to have some solution to a long-term fix.
That's Principal Laura Daniel. She didn't expect to land in the middle of a public health crisis when she took the job last year. Daniel says bottles of water stacked throughout the main hall are Band-Aids at this point. They are necessary, but the donations can't stop with water.
We just need a do-over. We just need, you know, yeah. The tax base is so low, there's no way that our city is going to support redoing our infrastructure. We need outside help. And we're not the only city. This has to be happening around the country, and I think this Flint crisis has raised the awareness of that, which is wonderful. That's the good news.
Since the water crisis, images of Flint are being shown to the world, and it isn't pretty. Years of economic neglect have led to poverty, violence, and population decline. Some of Daniel's students say the negative coverage is tough to watch. Remember Maddie Herman? She's written a letter to CNN.
Dear CNN, as an 8th grader in Flint, Michigan, who sees the good in Flint, I would like to invite you to come see my city. I do understand to get your audience's attention, you have to show the bad in Flint at this time. But I do find it hard to watch, which I do almost every night, when the town I was born in and raised in has been looked at as a town people have pity on. When I see this, I wonder how anyone could live in this horrible city. There are so many great aspects of our city that you are missing when you describe my hometown.
That includes Flint's Cultural Center, the new farmers market, which opened in 2014, and a refurbished outdoor ice rink. CNN didn't respond to Maddie's letter, but I wanted to learn more about this side of Flint. So I met with Maddie and her parents to see the parts of the city that aren't making international headlines. The family's home sits in a quiet upscale neighborhood near Flint's Cultural Center. Tree-lined sidewalks are busy with joggers and people walking their dogs. Maddie's mom, Joanne Herman, will never forget how she felt when she looked out the window to see National Guard soldiers walking down those same streets.
I'm a strong person, and at that moment you just felt absolute vulnerable. You felt the total vulnerability of the situation, and how did we ever get in this kind of a situation?
Like other Flint families, the Hermans feel betrayed by the experts they trusted to keep them safe. Fortunately, Maddie's blood tested negative for lead. Joanne, a registered nurse, knows it doesn't tell the whole story.
What it doesn't mean is that 6 months before, in our homes, in our schools, the places she plays and is exposed to in the city of Flint, it doesn't mean that she didn't have lead exposure.
It's the same worry Joanne has for all the children of Flint.
It is in the bones and it's in the brain, so that's the tragic part, is we don't know what the exposure is to our kids in our Flint community.
Still, Joanne's not leaving. She raised her family here. Maddie and her three older brothers grew up in this house. Maddie's dad, Jim, says he's not going to abandon Flint either. He's been fighting for decades to improve Flint's reputation.
I tell people, I tell the media, when they give us a bad story, when they give us a bad rap, come to Flint. Let us show you what Flint is all about.
Jim Herman is the CEO of the Flint and Genesee Chamber of Commerce. He is also the president of Uptown Redevelopment Corp. Basically, he sells Flint for a living, and that's not always an easy job. Flint frequently lands on the top 10 list of most violent cities in America. 4 out of every 10 people are living in poverty. Despite this, Jim says Flint is on an upswing. It's pumped millions into reinvestments like those in Maddie's letter, but this forward momentum was before the water problems. Now Jim's pitch relies on the government's commitment to make things right.
You know what? There's a lot of blame to go around. You know what? We trusted the experts. But we need to move on. We need to let the scientists and the engineers fix the problem. And Flint needs to stay open for business and move on.
The Herman family took me to one of the places they think can change the perception of Flint.
Hey, how are you guys? Good. Good. Did you have a good dinner last night?
The busy sounds of the farmer's market. Jim's redevelopment firm helped move it downtown. The market is full of life. It's been called one of the best in the nation. There are restaurants, Mexican, Lebanese. Down the aisles, there's a butcher, baked goods, fresh produce, and other items you would expect. Maddie and her mom stop and buy a package of chocolate chip cookies with sprinkles of sea salt. They insisted I try one. It may be the best cookie I've ever tasted. Maddie likes to come here with friends, grab lunch or one of those chocolate chip cookies. She feels safe wandering here. This is the Flint Maddie will share when people ask her about her city.
We just have to, like, make it better. You just have to say, no, it's not a bad place. Like, when people ask you, oh, you live in Flint? I'm so sorry. You live in a good spot. You live in a good area. I live in a good place, and I'm glad to live in Flint.
After the farmer's market, Joanne leads me on a drive through the city. We go past the Capitol Historic Theater, which is undergoing $5.5 million of renovations. We drive by Chevy Commons, a new riverfront park in progress. It sits on 60 acres. GM once built cars here. We pass a neighborhood of boarded-up houses. Bulldozers will soon tear them to the ground. Joanne then directs me through a neighborhood known as the Miller Road Mansions. I've seen both vacant houses and luxury homes in less than a mile. Neither escape the lead in the drinking water.
The Flint water crisis, you know, makes you question, like, why didn't you live somewhere else? Why didn't you move somewhere else? You question that, but you know this is home and you're going to make home better. And so we are both committed to stay in the city of Flint and move ahead, and this is home.
As we return, Joanne points to homes of longtime neighbors and others who've left the city. With its high crime rate, poverty, and now water crisis, Flint may be one of the most difficult places in the nation to call home. Nearly 100,000 people still do. In 2016, it's not easy to live in Flint. Driving away, I'm relieved my own family pulled up roots. But seeing the city through the eyes of the Hermans has given me hope. For Current State, I'm Karen Tunney.
And tomorrow on Faces of Flint here on Current State, we visit a community center and learn about the particular challenges facing the city's Hispanic population.
People are getting scared because the people that aren't documented won't answer the door because they're afraid that it could be the immigration and they could get deported.
Also, video shorts from our Faces of Flint series can be seen evenings on WKAR-TV following the PBS NewsHour. You can also find all of our coverage from the series on WKAR.org. Faces of Flint is jointly produced by MSU journalism students studying with Professor Jerry Alumet-Zeldis and the Current State staff.